Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good morning from New York City. The villains reside here in New York. That is the question. Of course, the evil empire, perhaps, here in New York City. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. The number is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, guys, the Nets, we talked about the Lakers losing again last night and losing AD, and big game tonight for them. The Nets are also in a bit of a slide right now. That's four straight after the loss last night to the Mavericks. That's a season-high long losing streak for them as they have five games left in the season. In fact, they could end up slipping a third in the East. Now, Kyrie went for 45 last night, but still, James Harden has not played. It's 16 straight games now that he has not played. But I want you to hear this. Now, he did say he expects he's going to be fine for the playoffs. In fact, might even come back before that and get a game or two in and knock the rust off. So, but he also talked about why
I
laugh
because it's only been a month and a half. He's like, oh, just a game or two will knock the rust off. Well, which in reality, like he
when
said,
you play
he's
with,
correct.
Yeah, yeah. When you play with the other two stars like that, you don't need to carry a team like others might have to.
But it ain't even that I'm playing with other stars. I'm that dude. I know what I can do.
Yeah.
Right? That's James Harden. It's like, man, I'm not – y'all can set the narrative how y'all want about my injury. I know my injury, and I know what I can do because I've done it before.
He spoke very confidently. And as you know, too, and I think Stephen A. mentioned this yesterday, James Harden's not a guy that takes games off. Like, he always wants to play. Like, he's a guy that always wants to be on the court. So this injury, whatever he's managing right now, it's certainly legit. But so is his team. And, in fact, their confidence level's really high. He talked about how the Nets have something that nobody else in the league has.
As much as I love the hoop, like I want to be out there, I want to be out there. But you got to be smart, and for me, it was just all right. Let's knock this thing out. Let's get this thing healthy so we can make a push. One of the things that a lot of teams don't have is talent. You know, so we don't have to worry about that aspect. But skill wise, we're elite. So I'm not. That's not my. You know, I'm not worried at all. It's going to be very, very difficult for teams to beat us.
I didn't hear anything else he said after a lot
of
things teams don't have.
None
talent.
But see, that's what I had said earlier. I'm like, hey, come on, man. There's three dudes. I don't need to play together. They can't match us.
Hear why they're the 2020. I said it when this team came together. I'm like, look, they're the new Bad Boys. They say things that people don't like. Stephen A. was on our show yesterday, and we'll get into the sound just griping about Kyrie. Like, Stephen A. was like, Kyrie needs to retire. Just go ahead and retire. This is where these people, this is
You're
where these players
play.
Can get you to. They can get you to say things like that because you dislike them so much. James hasn't played ball in a month and a half. He'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What other team got talent fine. Like
yeah,
ours?
Yeah, nobody else has talent like we. Like, basically what he said, we have something no one has.
Yeah.
Talent. Which other teams are like, what?
No,
like,
not the
excuse
same,
but that's
me?
Facts, though.
It's just not the same.
Now, Milwaukee listen, got talent like the Nets?
Now, you mentioned Stephen A., right? You mentioned Stephen A. yesterday when Keyshawn stepped out. Stephen A. stepped in, and we were talking about, you guys had a spirited debate about the Nets. But off of what James Harden says, that's why Stephen A. says something like this.
They're not very likable. You start off the season, and I like them. You know, I'm cool with KD. But there are people that look at him and they accuse him of being sensitive with the social media stuff. James Harden, you know what happened with him in Houston before he came to Brooklyn. Kyrie announces on day one that he ain't interested in talking to the media and all of this other stuff. And then you talk to people who cover the team. And it's not the most flattering things that you hear about them as people. And so when you combine that with the way the Knicks have elevated themselves to relevancy, here's what it's come down to. New York Knicks make the playoffs and get to the second round of the playoffs. If the Brooklyn Nets don't win it all, nobody will be talking about them.
Why Stephen A. always trying to bring the Knicks? The conversation was
Did he
about,
lie? Did he lie?
Did he lie about what?
If they don't win the championship and the Knicks get into the playoffs and play around,
no,
who will you talk
man,
about
stop,
more?
Man.
The offseason anticipation would be about what the
okay.
Knicks can build to, not the Knicks
right now. I'm not even talking about the Knicks right now. I'm not going to allow you
get
to
back
do
to
that.
It. Are they? Are they?
This is about Brooklyn right now, not about the Knicks. Knicks having a great year. It's not about the Knicks.
Is Brooklyn
right
the
now.
Evil empire in the NBA? Is he right?
Yes.
Unlikable.
Yes.
Is that good for the league or bad for the league?
It's great for the league.
Great for the league.
It's great for the league. I don't want to hear anybody tell me it's bad for the league. We love having teams that we root against. We love having teams that we hate.
I don't root against them. I like them.
I like them too, but
I mess with them. Them is like, that's my personality. I like what Harden said. Like, y'all can't mess with us. Like, come on, man. Now, obviously, I'm a Laker fan, but I like that attitude. I do. I 100% do. As I told y'all, can roll out of the bed in the dark and catch a BB because I feel that way. James Harden feel like, man, what you going to do with me?
You know what you don't like about them? They're polarizing. Yeah. Everything
and they
haven't even
been fined by the league over and over again for not talking to the media
care.
Or nothing.
I make $40 million a year. Fine me $35K.
Yeah, right.
Fine me. Yeah. I don't give a damn.
So I don't have to talk. Is that the check I have to write?
Okay. You know why I don't have to talk? Because I don't feel like talking today. Now, I know we love people that are first class and family guys. I know we get into all that. But something, everybody's built differently, man. Just because you made a lot of money because you're skilled doesn't mean that you come from a place that's like where the places where everybody else comes from. Right? It gives them clout.
Yeah.
Look, with the attitude that they have, whether you want to call it polarizing or whatever, bad boy, they got to finish the deal. Because if they don't finish the deal, it becomes something more.
Oh, the noise will just get louder
now.
It
becomes something more. And if they don't see the Lakers, they'll probably finish the deal.
Yeah.
If they don't, and even if they see the Lakers, they might finish the deal.
I agree, though. I think it's setting up for them perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, how you not going to rock with them dudes? If you a basketball fan or basketball player like Jay, you roll with that. I don't know anybody that's NBA players that would be like, ugh. Like, who that's a player is going to be like, ugh, I don't want to play with them. You got to be a damn fool not to want to be a teammate of one of those three.
These cats refer to the game as art.
Yeah.
Art. That's how their minds are as creative. That's how they talk about it.
Yeah, that's why they get along, because they all are pretty much wired the same way. Now, again, why is it good for the league? Because as you mentioned, you love basketball. You want to watch guys like that play together to see just what level of the game you can watch, like how beautiful that can be. Again, LeBron, Wade, Chris Bosh, when they got together in that second year, it got like you just were just amazed by the chemistry and what they had. These three, same thing. But what you also, though, when you're a competitor, you want to go, all right, who's going to step up and try to take these guys? Like,
well,
give me someone
everybody
that can
try
push them.
Everybody going to try it, right, Alan? Don't mean that they're going to succeed. This isn't anything new, and Jay knows this. This isn't, and you know it too. This is nothing new to the NBA.
You're right.
I can go all the way back. Just go back to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan just did it different in terms of letting you know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Kobe Bryant did it different. You knew Kobe talked trash.
Can I also throw another name?
He just did it
different.
Can
I throw another name in there that no one ever brings up? Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Who talked more trash than Larry
anybody?
Bird?
Larry Bird.
He would tell you. Yes. He would tell you what he's going to do, then do it, and you had nothing. Nothing you could do about it. Nothing you could do about it.
Nothing you could do about it.
He was one of the biggest trash talkers out there,
even
in the media.
You know what's so interesting about the Knicks and the Nets? Like, the Knicks epitomize New York, because New York is a hardworking, blue-collar,
bus drivers, got to overachieve,
got to grind it out. Like, I'm going to walk 30 blocks to my meeting. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then you got the Nets, who are like Rucker Park. That's Rucker Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's Showcase.
The Knicks are Uber, right? To get through the city, the Nets, they take the Blade. Like, they don't. They just go over the traffic. Like, I don't need to deal with it.
Look
right?
at you
like,
knowing about Blade. Look at you giving Blade a shout out.
Well, I'm just saying.
You taking Blade to the Hamptons this summer? That's what.
Is that
what you do?
Is that what I do?
That's what you do. You taking Blade?
I just saw it when I drive by in the FDR. That's all I know.
Emotional collateral.
That's all I know.
What
yes.
is Blade?
It's like you can do like private planes, like where they kind of like. They charter out to multiple people so you can
basically
all ride, or you can take
helicopter
rides with like five or six people that all pay
a
ticket
a short distance.
Yeah, to go from New York to the Hamptons, quick trips, things of that sort.
Yeah.
You wear the Sag Harbor shirt all the damn time, Mr. Sag Harbor.
I went on a tour.
Kind of enjoyed
tourist,
that.
Tourist in SAG.
I kind of enjoyed that, actually. That was really funny because I thought it was a good reference, and you guys embarrassed me on that one.
It's quick. I mean, obviously, you know where
it
is.
But how could you not?
But that's the reference, is the idea that I'm stuck in traffic. I'm sitting here in this traffic, and it's like they're those guys. They're the cake eaters up in their helicopter.
But they
got
to finish the deal.
Of course they do. They still have to produce.
If you put yourself out there like that, you got to close the door, because if you don't, the noise gets louder. Everybody like, man, come on, man. Y'all
yeah, and
chunks.
They don't like that, right?
No, I don't want that part of
it. I don't think it matters, but I think an interesting topic that I know will happen if
no,
they
absolutely
do win.
Absolutely, it matters, though, Jeff.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what my point's about to be. If they do win the chip, think about the teams that Kevin Durant has won the chip with. Golden State, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. And then it will be the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, well, James Harden. It's just interesting.
Said he left Draymond out.
Oh, Draymond.
Fine. No, I'm just messing with you.
Stop.
I love this conversation, and we'll continue.
But those would be the two teams he would want champ. You know, people are going to use that against him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Hey,
I'm not going to use it against him. Yeah. I just know where people are automatically going to go.
Like, everybody, you
need those guys, and it's not even the case.
Everybody got stars that play with them. What they think this is, Syracuse and Carmelo? I mean, like, come on.
It is.
Everybody has a star that.
Yeah, people hate though, Key. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Man, damn Twitter. Now you get ready to get me fired.
An interleague battle tomorrow as the Yankees host the Nationals. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Nice block. Oh, nice roll. Oh, look at that. That's just a thing of beauty.
Cannon.
Baker Mayfield. Is he a game manager? Can he win a Super Bowl as such? Is he a franchise quarterback? The Browns, where are they? So much to talk about when it comes to Cleveland. And let's do that right now with Gerard Cherry, co-host of The Next Level. That's on ESPN 850 in Cleveland. Of course, also a former NFL safety. Good morning, Gerard. How are you?
What's up, Jay?
I am doing excellent. Hey, how's it going, Keith?
Man, let me ask you something before we even start talking about football, dog. I just noticed something because, you know, us at times – we can mess up some names, right? You know that.
Oh, no.
I just want to know, how come your mom and dad didn't just say Rod or Juan? Where did J-E and all that come from? I just want to know from Juwan, Gerard, your brother that I Gerard, know, and you. I just want
to
know.
Well, just like your mom, she liked apostrophes, and she went apostrophe crazy.
I told my mother when she was living.
She likes punctuation.
I told my mother when she was living, Gerard, I said, why don't you just say Sean? You know what I mean?
Gerard, my dad was like, I think we're thinking about going J-A-E-S-O-N. My mom was like, no, David, no, we're not going to do that.
I'm like, his name is Rod Cherry and Juan Cherry.
Nah, dog, you got to put the apostrophe there, man.
I think it looks classy when you add punctuation. That's all.
Making it easy.
Yeah, you know what? It looks kind of classy. So how about we listen to – I want you to listen to something, though. This is Ryan Clark yesterday on our show. This is what he said about Baker Mayfield.
Last year, if you go back to the Tennessee Titans game, the Baltimore Ravens game late in the season, that he wasn't just good, he was excellent. And you could get those days and get those times for Baker Mayfield. And that's what Kevin Stefanski was brought there to do. Will he ever be a top five quarterback in the league? I don't believe that. But he can be a top 10 quarterback. He can be a guy that makes Pro Bowls. He can be a dude that's your franchise quarterback for 10 plus years if coached correctly, if put in the right space.
When you talk about Baker Mayfield, you said everything about Baker Mayfield except he can win a Super Bowl. Can he win a Super Bowl with the Cleveland Browns? Is he a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
I think he is. I believe he is, especially the way that this team is moving.
Gerard, do you believe you can win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield?
Well, I certainly believe he can win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield. For me, it's really simple, and Ryan somewhat alluded to it, and it's simply this. When you go back to that game against the Kansas City Chiefs, though the Browns lost that game, the key thing that you look for in having had an opportunity to play with Tom Brady, I know this from experience, is the moment too big for a guy. And if you go back to that AFC divisional game, Baker Mayfield looked comfortable in his shoes being a quarterback on that football field. Now, the rest of the team have to catch up and have to believe and understand that there's a certain mentality, there's a certain tact that goes with playing on the championship level. But for me, I felt just observing him, and I've been watching him for the past three seasons, that he belonged. And that was the key for me to say to myself that, hey, this dude has an opportunity and chance, and I do think he can become a top five quarterback.
If they win the Super Bowl, is it because Baker Mayfield, or is it because the defense and he's just riding along on the bus? Like, how do they win the Super Bowl?
Great question. And I would say it's going to be because Baker Mayfield had phenomenal statistics. Baker Mayfield showed up and showed out. Baker Mayfield made you walk away from that experience saying he straight out balled and put guys in a position to succeed. Because you know, Keith, and everybody who follows sports, hey, the quarterback position, it's a needy position. You need people to support you. But at the same time, you have to elevate your game and the people around you. So if you walk away from experience saying to yourself, Well, not only will Baker Mayfield win you a Super Bowl, but Baker Mayfield, I'm saying, will find himself in the range of anywhere from $250 million to $400 million as a new contract.
Mm-hmm. When you look at it, are the Browns the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC?
For sure. Certainly are. And we look at what the Browns did on defense now. Now, the Chiefs are still trying to address their offensive line issues, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did what? They provided us the blueprint. And it's really simple. We already knew this. Get to a quarterback. Put pressure on him. Make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket. And I don't care if he's Patrick Mahomes or the great Tom Brady. You're going to have issues and problems. And what did we do with the Browns this offseason? We have gotten guys to help us. Now, Jadeveon Clowney, we're hoping will give us his A-plus effort, A-plus game, and all those things. If that does occur along with Miles, good luck trying to stop the Cleveland Browns.
Jarrell, how come nobody's talked about OBJ?
Mm-hmm.
How much of a huge addition will this be? And will Baker Mayfield be able to go through his progressions without feeling like he needs to force it to OBJ? Because you know that was a hot topic last year.
Oh, that was a fire topic, lava. And we talked about it ad nauseum. And the thing is this. OBJ is the guy who's pretty much been written off as, okay, is he bringing Baker Mayfield down? The question, I'm like, that's insane. Baker Mayfield went through a maturation process. I agree with the take that, hey, Baker was forcing the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. But I'm saying to myself, if you have a weapon like Odell Beckham Jr., and now you're to a place when you walk into the huddle being Baker Mayfield, that you have command, that you have respect, and that you know that you are the man and that you know that you can do it, you're not worried about force-feeding anybody. So now that huddle is truly his. Guys have his attention and his respect because of how he plays. So I don't think it'll be an issue of forcing Odell Beckham Jr. ball. And also, Odell knows that they don't need him in order to survive and to play at a higher level. So I think it kind of puts everything on an even playing field. But I can't wait to see what these two guys do together. Now, granted, you don't want to force anything because if you force the issue, bad things would occur. But I can't believe it that people are actually still throwing it out there. But, yes, Odell has been forgotten. But I'm pretty sure Jay will. When the season comes into play, he will be remembered.
Jarrell, we had a little interesting debate going on this morning. Out of Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, or Baker Mayfield, which one of these guys do you think will regress this year? Which one?
Oh, that's a heck of a question. Well, I'm already biased towards Baker Mayfield having a great season, so I can't answer put him in that conversation. But if I'm going to throw somebody under the bus, I'm probably going to throw Lamar under the bus. And the reason why I'm going to throw him under the bus is that I think they're still trying to figure out what they want to do in a passing game. And at some point, the league's going to catch up to you. And he's a phenomenal, prolific runner, and he can pass. But I do think that they're still trying to figure out how do we get him to pass at a higher level. And with that, with teams figuring out what to do to stop you on the running game, that's going to hurt him somewhat. So I would say if anyone, I'm going to go with Lamar.
Jarrell, you said something before that when you're talking about adding Odell and then obviously that element to the offense, which we know they're very heavy run and they're so good at it. Now you're asking Baker Mayfield to make throws and you got to now keep everybody happy. It's what your identity is versus, of course, having a guy like Odell and obviously Jarvis and being able to throw the football a lot more could change a little bit of that identity and also puts a lot more pressure on Baker. I want to also go back to something that Kevin Stefanski said on the really big show on your station. When it comes to the impact on the offense when Odell was injured.
Yeah, I don't see that as a challenge. I think that's a huge benefit in getting him back. And we've talked a lot about that narrative, Tony. I think just our offense got better. I don't think that was because Odell was not in there. That's just crazy. So excited to get him back. And then, you know, it's our job, again, to put him in position to succeed, put all of our players in position to succeed and play them to their roles. If you have a bunch of playmakers, I mean, that's a good problem to have. And that's a good thing that we have to find ways to get guys the football. But Odell's a huge piece of this and him coming back healthy and he's doing great. As you guys can all imagine, he's attacking this rehab.
And he's a guy that, you know, Jarrell, he loves targets. What wide receiver doesn't? But their identity was ground and pound. Their identity was running the ball. He's going to want the ball. How is that balance going to work out?
Well, it's going to work out for a couple of reasons. One, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt aren't the type of guys that go into the press or the social media and say, give me the damn ball like someone we know on your airway.
I get him.
So you're not gonna have to worry about that, for starters. And then on top of that, Odell's not in a position to where he can really dictate to them anyway because, again, it goes back to this. they were able to find success without him. So it's not like he can walk into the huddle and be like, y'all need me more than I need you. That's not the case at all. And I really do think that a culture is developing with the Cleveland Browns where guys are like, get yours, I'm going to get mine, and we're all going to get this and roll together. And when you have that mentality going on, especially on offense or throughout the team, that's how you get to that championship level. So I think this is totally misplaced to think that Odell's just this team, this me guy. Does he have some me guy tendencies at times? Certainly he does. But I think that's just part of his nature of being an entertainer and understanding this is how I can get my name out there. But at the end of the day, I think he truly realizes that, hey, Baker Mayfield feeling comfortable in the pocket will get me paid and will get me more attention.
Yeah, and on top of that, though, Gerard, in terms of being a me guy and all that sort of narrative that was set with him in New York, he was on a sorry-ass team. Okay?
Exactly.
And when you're on a winning team in a winning situation like he'll be in Cleveland, you don't even worry about those sort of things because they're going to come naturally. You're in a winning environment. Your mind is – at a different place. When you're with the Giants and you losing and
frustrated
and the writers are writing stuff about you and you're frustrated, things happen.
It always comes back to the writers, doesn't it?
Well, I pointed to
and he's pointed to me at that as well. Yeah. No, Gerard, thanks so much.
Starting trouble.
Yeah, well, that's our job. Thanks, Gerard. Appreciate your time.
All right, Rod.
Gerard Cherry, ESPN 850 Cleveland, former NFL safety as well, on the Goodyear hotline.
Yeah.
Coming up, L.A. could still win an NBA title. It just may not be the Lakers.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Lakers, enough. Let's talk about the other team in L.A. Let's bring in Quentin Richardson on the Goodyear Hotline. Q Rich.
What up, Q?
Joining us right now, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast with Darius Miles. Good morning.
What's going on? Thanks for having me. Hey, Alan, man, you are elite at those reads, my man. You are elite.
I stumbled through that read. I appreciate that, though. At least somebody around here has given me a little bit
the
of
the nut butter
back.
Creamy crunch.
Yeah, that's talking about nut butter creamy crunchy salty stuff like that. And having these guys just staring at me while I'm doing that.
It's like the slight giggles the whole time.
You got to stay locked in. Stay
very interesting.
Because all Key wants to do is talk Lakers. So that's why you're here. Help us talk about the other LA team that's starting to bring it together right now.
Man.
Are we not talking about them enough? Are we overlooking this team now that Kawhi's back, he's playing through whatever he's got to deal with. Paul George having a great season. Rondo, the addition of him has been fantastic. How much faith do you have in them now this postseason coming up?
For me, I feel similar to how I felt about them last year. I mean, they have to actually show and prove. I mean, I had them pegged to play the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals last year, but we all know they came up short. So, you know, this is a situation where obviously they're playing a little bit better. I think they heard all of the whispers and everything about their team. And, you know, Paul George has been playing out of his mind this season. Kawhi has been Kawhi when he's available and out there to play. And I think that for me, it's not about saying, hey, they're going to be – I just got to see them do it, man. I can't sit here and talk any crap. I did that last year. I felt bad. I'm going to sit here and let it play out this year, and I'm going to see. I mean, I'm always wanting the Clippers to do well and succeed, but I'm going to stay short of just trying to predict anything this year. I'm going to let it happen.
Q, a lot of people on our network over the last several months have been talking about, yeah, well, the Jazz got the best record, but they're not the best team. Come on. We know who the best team is. Now I've seen the way things are panning out. Like, how much credence do you give to the Utah Jazz or the Phoenix Suns to actually have a chance to come out of the West?
Well, I'm one. I mean, it's funny that Phoenix is number one, but back when in 04 and 05, when I played for Phoenix, we had the same thing. So for me to hear that, I mean, that pulls at my heartstrings. Well, I kind of want to root for those Denver Nuggets and for that Utah team and that Phoenix team being at the top, because we were looked at that way, the same way that year. Like, no, it doesn't matter what their record is, what they're doing, they can't win, they can't win. So, you know, somewhere inside of me, deep down, I'm pulling for Utah and Phoenix in that thing.
Do you think if the Lakers were to end up in the 8th seed, can the Utah Jazz beat the Lakers, considering what you have going on with LeBron James and AD?
That's my thing with the Lakers is that obviously if they're going to be, you know, not have their full team and not have players or not be all the way healthy, that, you know, they can be had. But I feel like if LeBron is healthy and AD is healthy and they go out there full strength, I feel like they would win.
Smart man there, Q. Smart man. They're going to come out. who would you who you got for MVP right now?
Nikola Jokic. I gotta, you know, I mean, I think it's obviously, you know, Steph Curry had roared into the conversation, but I think it would be kind of unfair to him, a guy who's played pretty much, I don't think he's missed a game, but I know he's played the majority of the season, if not all of it, and he's been playing at the same pace and doing the same thing. Then they lose Donovan Mitchell, and he continues to carry him, and they record doesn't drop that much, so I think he deserves some credit for that. Although, you know, if he had some injuries and had missed some games, it would be a bigger conversation. But I think being that he was able to be more available than anybody else and still playing at that same high level, he deserves it.
Q, the Brooklyn Nets, the star power, have only played a handful of games, seven games together. And it doesn't look like that's going to be the case come playoff time. Can they just turn on the switch?
It's hard for me to underestimate a group of talent like that with those three guys. I think we all know, Jay, you know how it is in hoops, man. Like, they could totally be looking crazy one minute, and then, you know, they could have one moment in the game where I don't know what it is, anything just pulls them together. And those type of talents with Kyrie, KD, and James Harden, they like supernova type guys. And to have three of those guys on the same floor, I would never go against them. But I agree. I felt like they needed more reps as a whole team and a whole unit. But even still, with that much talent, I just would never really bet against them, knowing that two out of the three, or God forbid, three out of the three of those guys get into, like, Hall of Fame mode. It's nothing that nobody could do. I don't care what you're talking about.
So, Q, one of the things I love about you, since I've been knowing you since I've been 16 years old, you always keep it real. You always keep it real. So, speaking of a supernova teams, what do you think this will do if they do win it? The Nets do win it. How will this ultimately affect the legacy of Kevin Durant? Because the two teams he will have won championships on have been two supernova teams, talent-wise. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and then this with Kyrie and James Harden.
To me, in my opinion, we have to look at what makes them a supernova team. I mean, both teams. To me, KD, his legacy is intact. Anybody that says anything otherwise is laughable, in my opinion. I mean, it's not like he came in and he was the fifth Beatle. He's the baddest dude on every team you're talking about. He's what makes it happen. He's the final cherry on top that clinches everything. So it's not like he's coming in and riding somebody else's coattail. Every team you're talking about, KD been the super, like, out of the supernovas. He's the super supernova. So, I mean, in my opinion, his legacy and legacy talk is ridiculous for me to be hearing that about Kevin Durant and how good he is and what he's done coming off that catastrophic Achilles injury, the way he's looked and the way he's able to perform. That's you know, that's crazy to hear.
That's how I feel, Q. That's how I feel, Q. But you know how people like to do that. You know what people go in that direction? That's what people
That's
do.
Cool. I let him go. I'm a hooper. I know what it I'm is, Jay. I laugh at that. Like me, if I could have a quarter of his resume, good night. So I mean, I'm not about to I'm not about to question what he's done in the game and what he's done as far as basketball.
Facts. You know that ain't nothing. You know that ain't nothing but hate, Q. That's all that is.
Exactly. You can't like you.
I wasn't even a hooper like that, but I played sports and I know when the hate is in somebody's heart, for sure.
Yeah.
But the way you said it, though, and we're talking with Quentin Richardson, former NBA player, on the Goodyear Hotline, Q basically just saying, like, it's not like he was the worst guy or join the team to chase a ring.
He's always
he
been
was the
dude.
Best player. He's been the best the guy. Best. He's the best player on his team.
He was the best player on OKC when they didn't.
But I got to ask you something, Q. Now, I don't know if you guys know, I covered Q when he was with the Knicks. He's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, man, Allen go way back. He's big fan now, y'all. He on TV with y'all. He used to be a little beat reporter just trying to see what's going on. Now he got a big fan.
Get him, Q!
What Q would call the germ spreader. I was the germ spreader. But
Allen was one of the good ones, though. I'm definitely happy to see you succeeding and doing your thing because you were one of the people that I could trust that if I did something, it was going to come out the way it was and you weren't. You know, y'all know how it is in New York now. Allen wasn't one of those guys that was trying to, do some of the sleazy stuff to go on. He was on the up and up.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to being on the Knuckleheads podcast. Anytime you want to call, Q, anytime. I haven't gotten that call. Maybe I got to check my other phone. But I do want to ask you this, knowing your personality. Because Stephen A. calls the Nets, he thinks they're like they've become like that team that everybody hates, right? They become that version of the bad boy Pistons. I say the evil empire, right? Would you want to play with them or play against them? Would you want to be like on the Sixers or the Bucks, or would you rather let me jump on this thing and see if I can catch a ring?
I wouldn't bet the latter part where you said let me jump on this thing and see if I can catch a ring. I would never have that mentality about if I was a part of that team when all of that happened. I would be fine with being with them and they would be my guys and I would go to war with them. But if just in a natural sense, if I'm just out there, I would rather probably go against them. But if I was on that team, I would wholeheartedly embrace it and try and win a championship. But if I'm against that team, I'm strapping up and going to war with them.
So who's the team then in the East that can do it? Who do you think?
Now, I definitely like Philly, man. I think if Joel Embiid hadn't got hurt and missed, I would be saying calling him for my MVP because the type of domination that he presented this year, this is what I've been waiting for from him, like every game consistently, be available and just world dominate because nobody can do anything with him. So I think they can definitely be scary to any team because he's that one factor. I don't think there's anybody that can really stop him in the NBA, period.
See, I asked him that question because I knew his mentality. I knew that he would be that guy that would
go against him. I want to go against him.
Yeah, like it's that's the competitive thing. And I think, you guys talk about being hoopers. That's what I think is the compelling thing about this, is watching to see who has it in them to try to take him out.
I feel bad for Q and J.
That makes this fun to watch.
How much y'all want to go up against him? I feel bad for y'all, man. Two NBA guys. I feel bad for y'all going up against them.
All good. That's why we watch.
I mean, that's just the way it goes sometimes, though, Key. Like, ain't nothing going to change still basketball at the end of the day. There's nothing to be scared or afraid of. We just got to hoop. It ain't like we going hand-to-hand combat. That's a different scenario. People can be fearful then. Yeah. This is basketball.
Q Rich, great stuff, man. Great to catch up with you. Be well.
All right, Q.
All right, Q.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Quentin Richardson. That was really good stuff there. Coming up, Jimbo Fisher may want a mulligan after saying he's going to beat Nick Saban's ass.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. The number is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You heard Luka Doncic talk about how he complains too much, and he feels like he does that too much. What do you complain about too much when it comes to sports? Well, let's do some A to Z. Before we do A to Z, Damian Woody just tweeted hashtag Jets, and I'm freaking out.
What
now.
Does that mean?
I don't know.
It just takes hashtag Jets yes. for you to start What's becoming stressed.
What's happening?
Maybe it's just trending. He just wanted to be part of the trend. Why
are they trending? What's going on?
Oh, jeez.
I'm texting with him. I'm getting an update right now. All right, good. Yes. I will guys, have
we need to get this.
Hashtag Lakers.
Can't be around people who have so much anxiety all the time. Is that really what life is like as a Jets fan?
Yeah, it is.
24/7?
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm already worried about Zach Wilson. He hasn't even showed up at anything
yet. His shoulders are this big.
Yeah, pretty narrow.
It's so tiny.
They are narrow. Right.
I'm more concerned about the three dots that Damian Woody is typing
right
now.
It's three dots now. Geez. That means it's a long text.
Now we have to wait for it. Now I don't want to go to anything else. I want to wait to see what Damian Woody
well,
responds
I'll tell you what.
And all it said is, what tweet are you referring to?
Oh, no. God. Just
has
send
he
him
been
the link.
Hacked?
Send him the link. Meanwhile, as we do that, let's do A to Z. So Nick Saban, you remember Jimbo Fisher said that you know, he's – they hasn't beaten Nick Saban yet, but Texas A&M, he said, no, we're going to beat his ass. And Nick Saban had a response to it, and here's what he said.
Coach, got to ask, your friend Jimbo said yesterday that at some point while you're in Tuscaloosa, he was going to beat your butt. That wasn't the word that he used, but did you have any response for that?
In golf?
I think he meant on the football field.
Well, I'm sure there'll come a day, you know, but is that what he's talking about?
That
football?
He was talking about football.
Oh, he was? Well, he used to be on my noontime basketball league, I guess. You know, we're no longer partners, you know, when it comes to that. Coach. Now, they have a really good team, really good program, and, you know, they're getting better and better all the time.
Nick knows not a chance.
Love that answer.
I feel like
Nick knows not a chance. He's like, yeah, got a good team, good program.
Nick talked about Jimbo Fisher the same way that Aaron Rodgers talked about Brett Favre. Hey, buddy. Hey, bud.
I'll let you know when.
When I make my decision.
I'll let you know. Great. Once I make that decision, buddy. I'll let you know.
Passive aggressive.
He also referenced his noon basketball workouts that he has. Like, Saban plays hoop.
He does.
That, right? At noon.
I went down there, Cole. I saw him shoot. He can shoot it.
Yeah. But the joke is that he always, like, they rearrange it. So he's got the better team, so he never loses. That's just what he does.
Really?
When you're the king, that's what you do.
Shocking.
Well, what also might not be shocking, or maybe shocking. Remember how the NHL only fined Tom Wilson that $5,000 for basically going WWE on a couple of Ranger players? Well, the NHL then responded to a Ranger statement that they put out calling for the firing of George Parros, who was in charge of health and safety for the league.
So let me get this right.
And the Rangers were fined $250,000.
What?
So
for that.
You.
It gets better.
Go ahead.
Pavel Buchnevich, who was the guy on the ice face down that was getting pummeled.
Yes.
Well, in the game, in the ensuing game where you saw there was line brawls and stuff we talked about yesterday, he did high stick a Capitals player. He was suspended one game for that. So
see,
this is the league trolling the Rangers now.
So I'm going to get $250 out of the Rangers, but a dude could have really injured somebody severely. You give him $5,000, but because I criticize some stuff in safety – I got to now write a check for $250.
Yeah, Gary Bettman said that the comments were demeaning of a league executive and will not be tolerated. So words will not be tolerated. So what Tom Wilson did, it's hockey.
Yeah, hockey.
Glad I didn't play hockey.
Marketing for the NHL.
Which will be on ESPN.
Yes, it's great. We love it.
And you can see a lot of games on ESPN Plus, in fact, right now. But, yeah, it is why we watch, right?
We should call a hockey match together.
I would like that.
Or a game, hockey game.
Oh, it's a game?
It's a game. Yeah,
match
game. It's not wrestling. It's
game.
Not a match. It's not tennis.
Go to the bar before we go to the game?
I promise you guys this. That
why
if
are you
we,
looking at me like you're weird?
No, I didn't say anything. I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
If you would come with me to a game, we would sit on the ice level, on the glass.
Let's do it.
And you will not be the same when it's over. I promise you.
I'm in.
100%.
I've been to a hockey game before. I love it.
On the, you've been ice level?
Not ice level.
Did you watch the game ice level? I've been totally different.
I've been ice level and I left because I didn't like it.
Well, what games did you go to?
I went to Dallas Kings? Stars and somebody.
What about it did you not like?
I mean, the dude ran and all the thing, hit the thing, and I was like, I got to get out of here.
What?
The wall.
Hit the thing, hit the glass.
It was physicality, yeah.
No, it was just, them dudes was huge, though.
Yeah.
God,
big
they were
boys,
big.
Man.
Them some big dudes. But I didn't, it just.
Not
it
for
didn't
you?
Feel right. It didn't feel right. No, it
the
did.
The speed of the game, the physicality of the game, that's so much, that's so football.
But when I came to it, and I walked down the stairs, and I sat in the seats, it didn't feel like a sport that I would enjoy.
Really?
Oh, I enjoy it. I'll go with you, Alan.
Great.
I like it, but I just didn't. It's,
many
at that time,
NFL players have gone. Like, many NFL players have gone to hockey games to sit close, and they love it. Damian
like
Woody's
things,
one of them.
Yeah.
It seems like things were going to get
do
out of control.
Do we have an update on Damian Woody? Did he say anything ever?
We do. So here's the whole text. I said we were concerned. He said, why is that? I sent him the text, and the tweet, and he said, oh, I did that on accident. I have muted Damian Woody on Twitter, and I think everybody else should do the same.
Yeah, he's definitely muted. Now.
Muted. Not blocked.
Hashtag Jets tweet.
Not blocked, but it's
water
muted.
Ice,
you can't block him, but
cone,
I'm definitely muting
thing.
Him
definitely
for a
muting
while
him
now.
For a while, yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. But Woody, Damian Woody became an Islanders fan, and that's a cool thing. So a lot of NFL players, a lot of them used to go to Ranger games, sit right behind the bench, opposing bench.
Yeah.
A lot of Jet players did that.
Wow. James Still, our producer. James Still, our producer from home, says he is afraid of birds and hockey hits, apparently.
Oh, Keyshawn, that's a shame.
James Still.
Is Aaron Rodgers' situation fixable? We'll discuss that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.